It's this terrifying thing, the judgment of God. You don't want to experience the horrors of judgment. You don't want to waste away in your iniquity. You don't want to die in your sin. Repent so that God's judgment will be averted from you. See, Jesus Christ took it in your place. If you trust in Him, you'll be delivered. You'll be delivered from your sin and from God's judgment.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, as we embark on today's teaching, give us an idea of what we'll be learning from the book of Ezekiel.
Well, Dave, we're going to see that there's a point when God's patience wears out, where after He has continually warned for man to repent of their sin and clearly laid out the consequences, that although He is a patient God, that His patience will wear out. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, let's turn together to the book of Ezekiel, and we're starting our study in chapter 4.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
I have assigned it to you for 40 days, a day for each year. So what's going on here? He's to lie on his left side for 390 days and bear the sin of the house of Israel, iniquity. Now we're going to see, he's not bearing the sin. This is not like the Lord Jesus who bore our sins. This is an example where he is bearing the sin as an example that they will bear the consequences of their own sin. Okay? And you see, he's to lie on his side. Now, it's obvious he's not going to lie 24-7, because later on we're going to see he has to make bread. But this is a sign. He's going to lay on his side for those days. And so he says here, as for you, lie on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel on it. You shall bear their iniquity for the number of days you lie on it. And he says, for verse 5, for I have assigned you a number of days corresponding to the years of their iniquity, 390 days, and you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. We're going to see he's to lie on his left side for 390 days and his right side for 40 days. And you go, what does that mean? Well, certainly he says it's for the years of their iniquity, the house of Israel being thus the northern kingdom, Jerusalem being the southern kingdom. So evidently, when you have this years built up, it's about 430 years. People are trying to figure out, what is it? How's that match? Some say it's basically from when the kings started minus the good kings. That's certainly possible. But what we do know is that this relates to the number of days, I believe, in context that they're going to have his extreme judgment upon them. This is 430 days. It's a little over a year and a month or so. And I believe that seed starts 18 months and there's a couple months and they start to starve. And by the time they're starving, as we'll see, it's this amount of days that they bear their iniquity in judgment. He says this many days for the number of years. It represents the years that they had been sinning. So I think it has to do with that. A lot of theories. But in the context, again, it's the number of days that the siege is going to affect them in the context of judgment. Okay, I believe that's what it is. And it represents that, because he's to lay there while he bears the iniquity for that amount of days. They're going to bear it, as we'll see in a moment, in God's judgment. They're going to bear their own consequences to their sins. So then, it's a sign for the house of Israel. The house of Israel is going to bear their own sin, every bit of it. They're going to bear it in judgment for the days representing the years that they were sinning, and same thing with Jerusalem. Now, a lot of different ideas on what this is in a sense, but it really points to the corporate years that they sinned against the Lord and now representing each day of the siege for a year, okay? So then, notice what he says in verse 6. Now, the sign moves from the house of Israel to Judah. When you have completed these, you shall lie down a second time. Now, how many days is 390 days? That's a little over a year. This is a long time he is lying on one side, right? Okay, and it's a sign, right? Now, the days in the way the Jewish calendar works, just to help you for if you're trying to figure out days and stuff, is it's 360 days is a year, okay? So this is a year and a month there, and then there's another month, okay? So as we'll see here, another month and 10 days. When you have completed these, you shall lie on a second time, but on your right side, verse 6, and bear the iniquity of the house of Judah. They're going to bear their sin in the context of God's judgment one day during the siege for each year that they rebelled against him. Now, the house of Israel, I believe, includes Judah and Jerusalem, and then just Judah by itself after the house of Israel was taken away. Okay, I think that's what the numbers are about. And so then he says here, second time, but on your right side, and bear the iniquity of the house of Judah, I have assigned it to you for 40 days, a day for each year. Okay. To bear the iniquity of the house of Judah. So let's not get all caught up in the numbers. What we're seeing here is very clearly that these Jews are going to bear the sin themselves. You do not want to die in your sin. You do not want to bear the consequences of your sin. This is a picture. This is a sign here of what God would actually do. And we'll see that in a moment. Notice in verse 7, God is against them. Then you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem with your arm bared and prophesy against it. You set your face towards the little model there, your arm bared, and prophesy against it. Vivid picture of activity of God against these Israelites in the context of judgment. Now, why did they need to hear this? Well, the false prophets were saying peace and safety. Hey, peace and safety. Therefore, casting an early end to the Babylonian siege, rejecting the truth that God was actually behind the siege, bringing forth his righteous judgment as he predicted in Deuteronomy 28. You see, there will always be false prophets and teachers who say that God will not judge sin. Just drive down denominational alley. You see the little sign with the rainbows. Everyone's welcome. And it's one thing to say you're welcome. It's another thing to say you're welcome to stay in your sin and pretend that you're following the Lord when no, God is against you. He wants to save you, to deliver you from your sin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, turn there. Nothing's changing, nothing will change. You always have the bad guys. They've always got the love message, the peace and safety message. There's no love applied to you unless your sin is dealt with. That love was what brought about the dealing of your sin. It's through his great love that he died for our sins. Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, he has just encouraged them concerning their loved ones who are gone away and pointed out that, hey, they're going to be with them. And that's when the Lord comes and grabs you and takes you up and you're with the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. And they're resurrected. Amen. But guess what? For the non-believer, things are going to be much more different after that. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, verse 1. Now, as to the times and epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying, look at this, peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Nothing has changed. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'll read this for you. Knowing first of all, verse 3, in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, falling after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? That's coming in judgment, the context, by the way, the day of the Lord. They say, forever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just the same. Peace and safety, there's not going to happen. But the day of the Lord will come. Are you buying into the lie that you can get away with sin? Are you buying into that lie? That God will not judge sin? Folks, there is no peace for the wicked. True peace comes through Jesus Christ alone. If your sin is not covered through faith in Christ alone, you are at enmity with God, and he is a righteous, holy God who must judge sin. And you will die in your sins, and the consequence is eternal punishment. But Jesus Christ took your sins. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He took the punishment for you. If you will turn to him, you will have salvation, and you will be credited his righteousness, and you will be delivered, and you'll have eternal life. But you got to admit your sin, and you got to believe in Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So then, we have the siege sign and the bed of iniquity. It's going to be a siege, and they're going to bear their sin one day for every year that they've rebelled against the Lord. Okay? They're going to bear it in this horrible, horrible scene of the siege. Okay? Notice the next sign, it's the diet of famine, in which we'll see Israel is going to be wasted away in their sin. Verse 8, now behold, I will put ropes on you so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until you have completed the days of your siege. He's like, I'm going to tie you down so you can't turn to the right when you're on the left, and you can't turn to the left when you're on the right. Now, we saw earlier in chapter 2 that the exiles would put ropes on him. Could it be this is happening through them messing with him? Certainly could be. We don't know. So the Lord says he's doing it. He's sovereignly over this, but we also saw that, okay? So then, here we see this sign, and it comes through Ezekiel's diet. But as for you, verse 9, take wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelts, and put them in one vessel, and make them into bread for yourself. You shall eat it according to the number of days that you lie on your side. That's the first one. 390 days. And your food which you shall eat shall be 20 shekels a day by weight, and you shall eat it from time to time. And the water you drink will be a sixth part of a hin by measure, and you shall drink it from time to time. So what's happening here? God is putting Ezekiel on a starvation diet as a sign. 20 shekels of weight is approximately 8 ounces of food a day. That's not very much. And now why the mixture? Wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. As we will see here, it represents the scarcity of food. That's why this mixture, we're going to see there's a whole thing about this these days, but it represents the scarcity of food. That Jerusalem would have to mix fine and coarse grains, okay? That's the point. Because of the severe food shortage, this would make for an unpalatable bread, okay? Now, one side note, you can go to the health store these days and find Ezekiel bread, okay? And you'll find some Christians pulling recipes from the Bible, such as Ezekiel bread, thinking they're more healthy or more spiritual. To see from our passage this recipe as something like that is to miss the whole point. The whole point here in context, and that's why we need to read our Bibles, not pull things out. The whole point is that they're going to starve to death, and this bread represents that because it's fine and coarse as if they don't have enough. Okay? And we see that judgment is coming. And so, if you like Ezekiel bread, give thanks for it and enjoy it, even though you may be weird, okay? But the truth is, God has given us all food to enjoy, okay? It's the false teachers that limit your food via demonic influence. Let me take a sidetrack here. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You can eat anything, and as long as you give thanks for it, okay? Now, if you want to limit yourself, fine, as long as you're not doing it for a spiritual sense. If you make it spiritual, you're sinning. If you limit your food for a spiritual reason, you are sinning. Now, sometimes you may fast because you're mourning or something's happening. You may choose to set that aside. That's different. Talking about limiting certain foods. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says, in latter times some will fall away from the faith. There's your basis. Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctors of demons. You want to know what's behind this limiting your food stuff? Deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And he says here, by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from certain foods. Okay? Which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. Now notice this. Here's your key here. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected. They say, well, that's not processed food. Well, they processed. They made bread back then. It's what he's made. Food. It's good. And not to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. And here's the key. It is set apart. It is sanctified by the means of the word of God. God declared all things clean. Jesus did, by the way. All food's clean. We'll see that. And prayer. You see, when you pray and you give thanks for it and you trust the Lord, you acknowledge it's from him, and you recognize it's good because God said so, it's set apart. Okay? And he says, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus. That's what he tells Timothy. Point it out. Constantly nourish in the words of faith, the sound doctrine which you've been following. So then, if you want to eat Ezekiel bread, go ahead and do it and praise God for it, okay? Whatever you want to eat. But from this illustration, the reason we have this mixture, And this recipe is because it represents a starvation diet. That's what it represents. That's the context. And notice as we go on here, he says in verse 12 something interesting, and you shall eat it as a barley cake, having baked it in their sight over human dung. You want true Ezekiel bread? Follow the whole recipe. Not good. He says, then the Lord said, thus the sons of Israel shall eat their bread unclean among the nations which I shall banish them. This is pretty horrible. Human dung, you can't think of much more unclean than that, okay? And so he's to cook the bread over that to represent how Israel has been unclean and how they will eat their bread in an unclean manner and how they have. It's a picture. Now, if you really, like I said, if you really want to have that, do that. But don't, I would not. This is not good. This is representing what's going to happen during the siege. They're going to be unclean in even the way they have to bring about cooking their bread. It's terrible, okay? They're going to starve to death. And the conditions that happen when they're trying to get food are horrible, okay? And notice, Ezekiel doesn't want to defile himself, and he protests. Verse 14, but I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I've never been defiled from my youth until now. I've never eaten what died of itself or was torn by beasts, nor has any unclean meat entered my mouth. You know, the Lord had his ceremonial laws that came with the Mosaic law to show that Israel was separate from the nations. Now, there was nothing about the foods. It was just God declaring that to show their separation from the nations. And then we have, obviously, in Acts, the Lord telling Peter to go ahead and what God has declared, clean, right? Okay? So Ezekiel's saying, hey, I've never done that. I'm not defiled. I'm not going to, he's protesting. Okay? And the Lord accommodates him graciously. Notice this. Then he said to me, see, I shall give you cow's dung in place of human dung over which you'll prepare your bread. You think your ministry's hard? Try lying on your side eating this bread. Okay? And he's also given him a starvation diet of it. Very small amount. He's going to starve during that time. You're going to see a picture of what God will do to them through Ezekiel. And then notice we have the famine explained. Verse 16. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, behold, I'm going to break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they will eat bread by weight and with anxiety and drink water by measure and in horror. Because bread and water will be scarce, they will be appalled with one another and waste away in their iniquity. Yikes. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, I'm going to break the staff of bread in Jerusalem. What's that mean? What's it mean to break the staff of bread? He'll mention it again later. Well, the staff was a stick, and it was something someone would rely on. It's a cane. Either use it to rely on it or use to defend off beasts and things like that. We see in chapter 29, verse 6 of Ezekiel, that the Lord uses this analogy of Egypt being a staff to Israel. They relied on Egypt. So therefore, God was going to discipline Israel, but also Egypt. He's going to deal with them. And so he's saying he's going to break the staff of bread. You see, they relied on their food. They didn't rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't rely on who was to come, the seed of Abraham. They didn't rely on the Lord. And he was going to break the staff. He was going to cause starvation. He's going to judge his people. It says here, they will eat bread by weight and with anxiety and drink water by measure in horror. Because bread and water will be scarce, verse 17, and they will be appalled with one another and waste away in their iniquity. Not good. You'll starve to death. You'll starve. And it's going to get so bad, it says they will be appalled with one another. We're going to see later on, they're going to take desperate actions in the midst of the starvation. And all this will happen without repentance. You see, the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but they don't repent. It says, and they will waste away in their iniquity, even when this happens. What an awful scene. They're going to starve and do abominable things, and they're not going to repent. They're going to waste away in their iniquity. Turn to Deuteronomy 28, because it's very clear what God would do. They had the word of God. It's very clear what God was going to do. And they kept year after year after year rejecting him. Abominable things. Deuteronomy 28, verse 37. And you shall become a whore, a proverb, and a taunt among the people where the Lord will drive you. So the ones that make it out, they're going to be like, wow, wow, these people, man. You shall bring out much seed to the field, but you shall gather in little, for the locust shall consume it. Verse 39 of chapter 28, Deuteronomy. You shall plant and cultivate vineyards, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall devour them. You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for the olive shall drop off. You shall have sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the produce of your ground. The alien who is to rise among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you shall go down lower and lower. And he shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. So all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. Why? He says, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and statutes which he commanded you. Obedience comes in obeying the word of God. And he says here, and they shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of things. It's very instructive. I think the application for us will be that there are many in church that don't know the Lord. They're playing games. They don't serve the Lord at all. They name his name, but judgment's coming. And it's going to be worse for you than those outside. I'll tell you that right now. It's worse for you. He says here, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, thirst, and nakedness, and the lack of things. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. And then look at verse 53. It talks about, then you shall eat the offspring of your own body, the flesh of the sons of your daughters whom the Lord your God has given you during the siege and distress by which your enemy shall oppress you. They're going to resort to cannibalism. Look at verse 54. The man who is refined and very delicate among you shall be hostile towards his brother and towards his wife he cherishes and toward the rest of the children who remain. This is during the siege. So that he will not give even one of them any of the flesh of his children which he shall eat. They're not even going to share. Okay, there's nothing else left. During the siege and the distress which your enemy shall oppress you and all your towns, the refined and delicate woman among you who will not venture to set out the silver foot on the ground for delicateness and refinement shall be hostile towards the husband she cherishes and towards the son and daughter and towards her afterbirth which issues from between her legs and towards her children whom she bears, for she shall eat them secretly for lack of anything else during the siege and distress by which your enemy shall oppress you in your towns. If you are not careful to observe all the words of the law which is written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, and severe and lasting plagues, and miserable and chronic sickness.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, what's our takeaway?
Well, Dave, the takeaway is this. There's clearly a time when God's patience will wear out, when it will run out. You see, God is a patient God, unwilling that any should perish, but his judgment will come. And folks, God has warned of that judgment. Don't try the patience of God. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him before it's too late. You may think everything's just fine and dandy, but without your sins forgiven, when you die, then comes the judgment. Oh, I pray that you will turn to Jesus and have your sins forgiven. Well, we're not done with our passage yet, so make plans to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.